Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. If you guys are just joining us, we are talking about travel and food. The two go hand in hand, almost like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I mean, you can't have one without the other. The same thing with travel. When you travel, you must get out there, try some of the local cuisine, try some of those national dishes that we just talked about in the last segment.
Cornbread and butter beans, and you across the table, eating them beans and making love as long as I am able.
Now, Doc Bill, you were giving a great, great, great description of how food and culture really play hand in hand. And I think those are all great ways to look historically at them. But what about in present day time? If I find myself in Spain or I find myself in India, should I maybe look to even go as far as maybe trying to learn how to make some of those dishes?
I think you could look at that. But the first thing you want to do is you want to sample some of those dishes.
Yes,
so you want to find
true.
A place or a location that will allow you, or a site that will allow you to gain access to see what places have the best representation of those dishes.
That's true. And, you know, we talked in the first segment about how you find, you know, great restaurants and things like that when you're traveling. And all of those things definitely apply when looking for those national dishes, because the people who live there would certainly know where to find those dishes and really who makes the best ones that really represent their culture. Just like when we were just talking in the last segment about the hamburgers. I mean, we know that if we want a good burger, where we can go to get those, or who has a great hot dog. So the locals or the residents in these countries, they will know those same things. But to help you out, people are coming up with ways to connect travelers and the local folks together.
Well, that's true. The internet's been doing a lot to help that connection.
The internet has, you know, and I came upon this one site called Eat With, and it's a global company that connects travelers with local vetted chefs in 150 countries around the world. And what happens is that you're actually invited into their homes for a meal. And I'm sure if it's a chef, you know, chefs really like to cook and prepare, but they also like to teach. So you may have a few opportunities also to learn a few things about the national dish and maybe even a few tips on how you can make it at home.
That sounds like a really good website, and I think things like that are interesting, and people need to do it. The other thing you also need to find out, and you should know, is what you're allergic to. Before you begin any of these, looking to these exploits of the parts of the world, ask yourself, what am I allergic to? And always ask the list of ingredients and some of the foods to make sure the things you're allergic to is not in the food that you're eating.
You know, that's a really, really good point, because a lot of times we are being quite adventurous and wanting to try this and try that, and we'll ask what's in it, and they may just say, well, you know, it's rice, or it has in it, you know, maybe a certain nuts or something like that, but they don't give all of the ingredients. So if you do have an allergy, I think you're bringing up a really good point. But don't you think also, too, if you do have some allergies, that maybe you should travel with medication for those, maybe even EpiPen if you're really allergic?
You definitely should have an EpiPen with you. That's something that you should definitely have, and it's easy to get a prescription to. If you have a doctor, that your own physician, talk to him. If he's aware of your allergies, that's something that he can prescribe for you to have, and have that with you. Also, Benadryl is good to have. But if you're really allergic to something, you know, it's best to have that with you, because it can make a big difference, whether you're allergic to a certain type of fish, whether it's shellfish, or a certain type of plant or fruit, such as papayas, things like that. People need to have, you know, to know what you're allergic to, whether it's nuts or not, and have some protection for yourself.
You know, you bring up a really good point, because I remember years ago when we were out in Hawaii, and I never thought that I was allergic to fish, but we had a fish there that I actually had a slight allergic reaction to. Remember that?
We did. I would think it was a bonefish. And a lot of times when you've been exposed to something you've never seen before, you may have a mild reaction. And sometimes that's your first free reaction, which means your body says, I don't like this. And then it starts to build up a series of substances in your body called antibodies, waiting for the second challenge. And so the second time you see that a few weeks later, you have a very, very bad reaction to it. Sometimes if you don't have the right medication, it could be sometimes a fatal reaction.
Wow.
So you want to keep track of things when you have those reactions and make sure whether it was an allergy versus food poisoning. But usually you get an idea of tingling in the mouth, reacting, itching, things like that. You have an idea whether it's looking at an allergic reaction. But there are a lot of things out there to try, and don't be afraid trying stuff. But again, when you try things, you know, again, keep in mind, look, you know, deal with your reactions or how you're responding to the food.
You know, that's a very, very good point, Dr. Bell. I'm glad you brought that up. And the only other thing I would add to that, because, I mean, you certainly have explained it so well. The only thing I would add to that is that when you are traveling, especially like with group tours, and if you are visiting and staying with families, or you're going to participate in some of the things we're talking about here, where you go and you meet local chefs and local, you know, food people, that you let them know ahead of time any allergies that you may have so that they can be prepared for that and not serve or not start preparing something that you might have a reaction to. So it's a good idea let people know.
True. You talked about one of the apps you talked about, Eat With You. Another app we'll talk about is an app called the Cook app. What's that about?
Well, you know, the Cook app is really good because it allows you to find locations where you can cook with the locals. It's focused more on South America, Brazil. It is also focused on San Francisco, which is where I believe the app started. But it has really a very, very local focus. So it really does want you to go and get with the locals. Maybe you'll go to the market with them. They vetted these chefs as well. And they have more of these cities to come. So keep an eye on that one. It's called Cook app. And then there's another one, Doc Bell. I love the name of this one. It's called Traveling Spoon.
That's a pretty neat website to look at.
It definitely is. I like it too because I love Asian food. I know you do too. And this particular app focuses on more of the Asian cultures. And they have a really neat motto too. It's called Travel Off the Eaten Path. So instead of travel off the beaten path, you want to travel off that eaten path and try something different.
Well, that sounds pretty good. And, you know, here in the U.S., we have the app Eater. So you type in whatever city. If you're in D.C., you would Google D.C. Eater. You're in Atlanta, you would Google Atlanta Eater. And Eater lists all the things that are happening in your area, the new restaurants, what's happening with the new restaurants, the old restaurants. It picks the 38 best restaurants in your city. It follows some of the James Beard Award-winning chefs. And it's a good idea to get what's hot and what's not hot. And if you're in an area in the United States and you want to know where to go, the best restaurant, it's a site, it's free. It gives you pictures, and then it gives you links to the different menus and places from the various restaurants. And it's a great source to use in the culinary world.
Well, you know, I like that idea because I like the idea of having something that gives you pictures, too, so that you can have a look at it. Because I like to kind of see the meals. I mean, a lot of times, you know, especially if you're in a country where you don't speak the language, it's kind of a good idea to be able to see what's in the meals. Japan does a really good job of that. They have the artificial food in the windows there so you can see.
Well, that's true. And then people are getting more interested in taking travel courses.
Yeah.
Places like Tuscany, places like India, Spain, Thailand, and Vietnam are places that are high on the list of places to go for their exotic ingredients, their the well-known chefs, and just the great background of the scenery and stuff where you can see the food come from the mountains and the farms right to your table.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. And I have to tell you, I know I've told you before, but I have to tell you again, and I'll let all the listeners know as well. Tuscany is one of the places that I so want to take you. Because you love to cook and you're such a great cook, I just think that you would love that. I think you would just love the surroundings because they're usually in old farmhouses and you usually have a group of women from the area that are helping you get elbow deep in flour and pasta and, you know, going out and picking tomatoes and going out to the farm. I just think that has Doc Bell written all over it.
And Tuscany is a great place, as well as India. And again, a great complex cuisine with a lot of spices and herbs. And India is where a lot of things started because the whole thing about travel was basically the spices. People traveling around the world to get spices, and that's what the place around the world they're trying to go to get hold of the Indian spices.
Well, you're right about that. And Indian cuisine is quite complex. It is not one of those DIY, do-it-yourself kind of cuisines where you pull out that cookbook and say, okay, I'm going to start cooking Indian food now. You really probably should if you're going to India. Maybe get with some of the companies that offer cooking classes there. And so many great locations. I mean, you could do Goa, you could do Jaipur, you could do Delhi, and so many places where you can stay in Indian homes. I would highly recommend that. I love, love, love Indian food. And maybe that's what I'll do one of these times, too.
India is great. Also, another contest will be Spain. Spanish food is very, very good. Very intricate cuisine. And some of your best restaurants in the world, top restaurants in the world, a lot of them are restaurants located in Spain. A lot of the whole, this new food movement look at, a lot of the restaurants are really based out of Spain. And the Spanish influence eventually came across the United States. That's another great source of great pork, great olive oil, great cheeses, great cured meats. Incredible variety coming from Spain.
Well, you know, I was there last year doing that tour of St. Teresa going along her path that she did when she was alive. And there was so much great food. I mean, I cannot tell you, you know, all the different restaurants, the wineries, the cafes. I mean, it was just so many places to have great food. But now we're coming down to the end of the show, and I cannot end in talking about cooking classes without talking about Thailand, because that's where you first really started cooking. It was within that cuisine.
It was. I just loved them. The flavors, the sour, the sweet, the hot. And to me, there were just a variety of powerful ingredients, and Thailand really got my interest in cooking going dramatically.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, we're coming down to the end of the show. Now, the next show, Dr. Bill, I want us to come back and talk about food again, and let's talk about some of our favorites, because I just got back from Raleigh and had a great time at a barbecue restaurant. I mean, there's so many more areas that we can talk about with food. We also have an interview that we did with one of the leading James Beard Award-winning chefs talking about him setting up the food on Delta Airlines. So when we come back next time, we'll talk about that as well. So thanks, Dr. Bill, for all of the great information. This has been Travel Bags with Anita and Friends, brought to you by the Sapelo Island Birdhouses down in beautiful Sapelo Island, Georgia.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy.